Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Money Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garvigal of Chicago with a live studio audience. Woo! Wow, that was record producing in volume as the spikes of my recording go way off the grid. I hope everyone's ears recovered from that live studio audience. We have really quite a very special story podcast with a powerful message. One that's just, it's just a feel good. It's just a feel good. I said, you know, we got to start with the feel good. And this story is the story that I told Friday night at Project 613's Shabbos in the City. We had another overall record breaking crowds. If you added up the lunch and the dinner, it was ridiculous. It was like unbelievable. We had so many people for lunch in the afternoon. Dozens of people ended up staying throughout the whole day. And Shabbos gets out a little late now, so it was rocking. We had Rabbi Yaakov Marcus, father of our very own Rabbi Mordechai Marcus, who's on Project 613 staff, visiting from Jerusalem. And he wowed everyone with incredible Torah in the afternoon at a few different occasions. And then we had game time at 3:15, Settlers of Catan and Zillionaires Ticket to Ride, I think, happened also. And most of all, the Ping Pong Championship. Now, you should know, you think Rabbi's just a schmoozer and a Torah deliverer. I had an unbeaten streak in ping pong going back many months. A young professional has not beat me in ping pong in many moons. However, sadly, that streak ended this past Shabbos. Yes, and I'd like to give a big shout out to Brandon Carmen. Brandon, bravo. Handled me handily. I didn't lose by that much, but he was in control. Anyway, our overall record, for those of you wondering, is 2-2. So next Shabbaton will definitely have to be the rubber match. I will say that ultimately I did win because Brandon told me, he said, Rabbi, he had jumped out to a big lead in game number one. And then I came storming back. And he said, at that time, Rabbi, I davened, I prayed to Hashem that he would help me beat the rabbi. He says, I can't do it on my own, Hashem. I need your help to beat the rabbi at Big Bong. I think that's the first time a young professional has invoked Hashem's divine assistance against me. Now, can you imagine that? You know, a young professional, you know, happily in their condo and the rabbi's texting them, WhatsApping them, calling them to get them to come to an event. And a young professional will turn his or her eyes heavenward and say, Hashem, please help me avoid the rabbi's constant invitations. What would Hashem do? Would that be a great conundrum for Hashem? What would it, you know, Hashem might actually, and so I guess that explains why those people who are not coming to Project 613 are not coming. They're just clearly davening. They're saying, Hashem, please help me avoid the persistent Project 613 staff. No, okay. But anyway, it was an incredible Shabbos. Feel very blessed. And if you hear in my voice, do have a little bit of a cold. I'll try not to cough too much, but I wanted to share this story because really it is springtime. It is springtime. We are transitioning now from Purim into Pesach, and the Torah specifically says that that Pesach, Passover, needs to be B'chodesh Ha'aviv, in the springtime month. Now, Judaism, the Jewish calendar, fundamentally is the lunar calendar, like the Muslims make it a lunar calendar. However, the Muslims do not adjust for the about 11 and a half day discrepancy that the lunar calendar falls short of the solar calendar. Lunar calendar is like 354 and a half days. And as we know, the solar calendar is of a year is 365 days. So if you go by a pure lunar cycle, you're getting 11 and a half days earlier every year, which is why the month of Ramadan keeps getting earlier and earlier and earlier each year. But the Torah specifically says that Pesach needs to be in the springtime. And so therefore, 7 out of every 19 years, there is a double Adar. There is a double month of Adar. We did not have one this year. I believe last year we did have one. And so that adjusts the calendar perfectly so that that Aviv, that Nisan, will always be in the springtime. We actually had a new young professional named Adar come and join us. What a great name. I thought that was fantastic. All right, so here we go, folks. I'd like to share with you a story in the theme of springtime, of seeds, seeds and apple. Now, Rabbi Avigdor Miller says this all the time, of blessed memory. And also, this story, I want to give proper attribution, is a story that we find in Pesach Kron, who is a masterful, he's like the Maggid of our generation. Now, what is a Maggid? There are many, obviously, there's rabbis, influential rabbis, and we all know that stories work, stories get to our hearts, stories, you know, a fancy drush, a fancy sermon, you may or may not remember anything, but the stories, at least, people remember. And so, the rabbis who focus on telling stories, they're called Maggids. Maggid, you might now recall, it might spark a memory that is in the Passover Haggadah. The main telling over of the Haggadah is the Maggid section. The whole book itself is called a Haggadah. So a Maggid is someone who is a storyteller. And Rabbi Pesach Kron is really the Maggid of our generation. And in his, he has many series called the Maggid Speaks series. And this book is called Illuminations of the Maggid. And you can find this story on page, beginning on page 175 of that amazing book of Illuminations of the Maggid. The name of the story is Manchester Seeds and Hamilton Apples. So let's begin this incredibly inspiring story. So the Manchester part of the story is attributed, he attributes it to Rebbetzin Chavi Wagshall. Wagshall family is a very famous rabbinic family, and this woman, a very holy woman, surviving very difficult conditions of MS and wrote a very inspirational book of how she dealt with it. And she came up with a quote, I don't know if exclusively to her, but we will attribute it to her in addition to Rabbi Miller. She said, any individual, any person can count the seeds in one apple, but only Hashem, God, can count the apples in one seed. And it's an amazing thought, right? You cut open an apple, and what? You have, I don't know, 5, 6, a little star there. If you cut it horizontally, like, you know, in kindergarten, oh, wow, look at that star. Were there 5 seeds in an apple? Okay, 6, I don't know, 4, depending, whatever. Okay, but from one of those seeds, only Hashem can know how many apples will come for that. Let's say one seed is planted and it produces an apple tree with thousands of apples in its lifetime. And then those seeds from all those thousand apples, you literally could have an entire planet covered in apple trees from that one seed. And so only Hashem can see the true potential in one seed. And that is a very powerful idea. And so the story goes like this. There is someone named Rabbi Mordechai Yaffe. Now, Rabbi Mordechai Yaffe is the Menahel, or was, the head of a Masifta Teres Yaakov, okay, in Muncie. That is Muncie, New York, not Muncie, Indiana. And Menahel is the leader of a Masifta, which is like a pre-high school, middle school, high school. Okay. So he wanted to tell the story to Rabbi Kron, who writes these books, about the story of the shul that he grew up in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. All right. So, he said, Rabbi Cohen, don't worry. You're definitely going to want to put this story in your book. And Rabbi Cohen says, everyone says that. But it turned out that this was such a good story, it ended up in his book. So, he talks about Rabbi Mordechai Green, who is the rabbi of Adas Yisrael. And he was a 25-year-old rabbi in 1958. So you can do the math. Now, he was in a certain part of Hamilton, and the writing was on the wall. The neighborhood was changing. Jews were moving out to the burbs. It was in the city. Everyone was moving out to the burbs. The average age of the person in the shul was like 94 years old. It was not happening. This shul was gone. And in 1958, Rabbi Mordechai Green, at 25 years old, realized he needed a building. He needed to build a new building, a new synagogue, right in the perfect neighborhood. There was only one problem. He needed $500,000 to do it. And I don't know, you could do the math. What is $500,000 in 1958? $5 million? $10 million? He needed a lot of money. And evidently, he didn't have any, you know, sugar daddies in shul who were going to say, oh, sure, Rabbi, here's your $500,000 in 1958. So, having some good Jewish chutzpah, he walks into the Royal Bank of Canada in Hamilton, and he says, I'd like to speak to the bank manager. Okay, and clerk says, oh, okay, fine. And he is introduced to Mr. Amy. Now, I'm going to pronounce that Amy. It's spelled A-M-I-E. I assume that's how you pronounce it. Well, for this story, it'll be Mr. Amy. And he comes in with verve and idealism, and he says, I need to build the shul. I need to build a synagogue. And he says, well, what kind of synagogue? Well, a Jewish one, a Jewish synagogue. And then Mr. Amy asks Rabbi Green, he says, I see you're wearing a yarmulke. Do you always wear a yarmulke? Now, if you're Rabbi Green, you're wondering, why is he asking me if I'm wearing a yarmulke or not? Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? You know, like, what answer does he want me to say? And Rabbi Green did not flinch. He said, I always wear this yarmulke. I am an Orthodox rabbi. At which point, Mr. Amy leaned forward, placed his elbows on the desk, cupping his head in his hands, and started crying like a baby. Now, this story always gets to me, by the way. At some point, if I my throat gives out and I choke up a little bit, it's definitely the allergies and the cold that I am surviving right now. But Rabbi Green has no idea what's going on. Mr. Amy is crying copious tears, and he said that he's going to help him. And he said, I'm going to help you, but first, I'm going to tell you why. And Rabbi Green sits back and just cannot believe what is happening to him. So Mr. Amy begins. In the late 1920s, okay, so again, you're talking 1958. So this bank manager in the 1920s was a little boy. So in the late 1920s, I grew up in Timmins, Ontario, which is 470 miles north of Hamilton. So that's like in the hinterlands. And he said that there was a tragedy in our home, there was a fire in the home in which my father died, and my mother had 5 orphans, of which I was one of them, and was absolutely penniless. Now, in the 1920s, in Timmins, Ontario, I don't know what social services were available. And so what happened was, soon after my father died in the fire, the owner of the general store. Now, we have to remember, there's no Walmart, there's no Sam's Club, there's no Jewel Osco, there's no, I don't know, fill in your store. There's no Amazon online. You're literally talking about still a time where there's more horse and buggies than there are cars. Okay, what is this mother with five orphans and penniless going to do? So the owner of the general store, Sam Bukovetsky, remember that name, Sam Bukovetsky. He was known for his kindness. He came to my house and he talked to my mother and he said, as long as I own this store, your family will always have food. Your family will always have clothing. And I'll never ask you for a penny. Pay whatever you want, whenever you want to. Now, I don't know why this story always gets to me at that part, but it's such a Jewish thing. Such a Jewish thing. Who's this guy? Sam Bukovetsky. What does he care for this non-Jewish orphans and widow? Maybe Jewish. A non-Jewish? Someone doesn't even know? Okay, help them for a little bit. For as long as he owns the store, they have an open. He basically turned his store into a soup kitchen. And so Mr. Amy says, I am who I am today only because of the kindness of Sam Bukovetsky. And I've been waiting to repay someone who wears a kippah since then. Because Mr. Bukovetsky wore a kippah and was an Orthodox observant Jew. And I've been waiting for an opportunity since I was a little boy to pay back the kindness that he did for my family and for me. And so when you walked in, says Mr. Amy, I knew that God had sent you. Oh, man, that story always gets me. It's so such a beautiful story. And then the story goes that he got the loan and they built the shul. And the shul was very successful. And his son, eventually Rabbi Daniel Green, succeeded his father in 2002. And so the original person of this story, Rabbi Mordechai Yaffe, said, my family grew up in that synagogue. And it was only because of that synagogue that we stayed observant. And somehow I convinced my parents to send me to yeshiva in Toronto for my 12th grade. And from there, I started learning. I didn't really learn much before. I was observant, but I didn't learn anything. And then he became a great head of a yeshiva, educating thousands and thousands of boys over so many years. And that one seed of kindness of Sam Bukovetsky inspired a non-Jewish banker who allowed a ridiculous loan that never, ever would have been approved to a idealistic young rabbi who eventually built a synagogue, who eventually inspired families, who eventually inspired a young man to go off to yeshiva to become a great rabbi himself, to inspire thousands of students. How many seeds in an apple anyone can count? How many apples in a seed? Only Hashem will know. Only Hashem could see the great fruit that was yielded from Sam Bukovetsky's kindness. Only Hashem can see the fruit that yields from our kindnesses to our fellow Jews. And maybe that's one of the reasons why Hashem puts Pesach, the time of our renewal, in the springtime. A time of planting, a time of renewal, a time for us to realize that when we plant seeds of goodness, there's an infinite amount of good fruit that will come from it. A smile is a seed in someone's day. A kindness is a seed in someone's day. Holding back our temper is a seed in someone's day. Learning Torah is a seed that is planted within our day and within our lives. Listening to a podcast, a Torah podcast, is planting a seed, and who knows where this will go. And you know, we're bringing it back to our Shabbos. when I finished the story on Friday night, Rabbi Marcus Sr., he stood up and he said, "Rabbi, I'd like to tell you something amazing." He said, "In Toronto, I lived two doors down from Rabbi Mordechai Yaffe, the head of this yeshiva," which is absolutely incredible that that was happening right then during our Shabbaton. Another seed planted, another circle closed. Ladies and gentlemen, as we begin our immediate descent into Pesach, let's take time to prepare. Let's take time to think about how kind we can be to others, how patient we can be with others, how giving we can be with others. This is the time of planting, the time of planting kindness and goodness. And God willing, for sure, that planting, those seeds, will yield infinite fruit for yourselves, for the Jewish people, and for Hashem Almighty. God bless. Have an amazing day, an amazing week of planting seeds of goodness. And we'll see you again, God willing, right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.